Hello, and thank you for tuning in for a new episode of Inspirations with C. Melita Webb. You know, today is a moment of truth. At least I hope it is a moment of truth. I am not one to get into politics, but I am one to get into the reality of life. And as a person of color, I have walked many years through the troubles and the race relation issues. You know, from the mid 70s, I want to say about 79 on. And I am also the mother of two children, two male children. And they also have had occurrences in their lives. And the sad thing is that nothing changes in life until we change. And the people who are not perpetrating the harmful behavior, who remain silent, are not helping. I wouldn't ask for anyone to put themselves or their families at in harm's way, but I would say that we all can do something. You know, I do a lot of writing and interacting with people purposely to have them realize that, you know, we are more alike than not. And so when people come to my door, or they call me, or I otherwise get the ability to interact with them, I try to look at them for who they are, a child of God, and not look at them for what they may be wearing or what their skin color is or any other, perceivable difference. And realistically, I wouldn't want anyone in my household who could not look at people for who they are. You know, I am very happy that my two children are raised to love people for who they are. Now, on the other side of that, you know, my children, you know, I prayed for male children because I knew I would be a much better mom, sports mom, than I would be a hair mom or a dress mom. And I am thankful for them. One of the things that occurred to me once I had my first son was that his life would be different. Now, the interesting thing is, I knew that I had to be careful for him, but I didn't know that I needed to be careful for myself. And so I was always an afterthought. And I remember, as, you know, he played outside and the kids were calling him names and I was allowing him to sit out there and play because I didn't know what the names were. And then I went to a friend and she told me what the words were and I said, okay, fine. And I stopped them from playing. And I kind of thought that would be it. But the sad thing is that was never it. That never stopped the way, that they are perceived when they are walking, when they're driving, when they're out with their friends, you know? And it has become such an issue in America that hardly a day goes by where I don't see an article on my iPad that comes up and says, you know, this young man was shot, or this young man was arrested, or this woman was aggressively handled, or this woman, you know, and I'm sitting here going, you know, how does this happen in a society that claims to be Christian, Catholic, and otherwise inclined, Muslim. I mean, whatever people are claiming, they're saying that they are Christian followers of God. And I saw something, I think it said guns, God, and I forgot what the third thing was, but it was like a bumper sticker. And it just made me think, you know, what would God do if he came back today and he was looking at some of us? You know, what would he say? The Bible speaks about entertaining angels and not being aware of it. So if we are treating each other as opposites, as almost as if we're aliens from another planet and not one of God's children, how do we justify that? You know, how do we justify that and continue to claim a religious background? I don't get it. You know, I remember one day my youngest son was extremely hurt because he was out doing his job. And at the time he was doing, I want to say maybe it was for Amazon. I think it was Amazon. And he was up in an area sitting on the side of the street waiting for his next delivery address to be, be given to him and his next orders of which one of the distribution centers they wanted him to be at. And two women approached my son. Him being who he is, you know, he rolls down the window to see if he can help him, because that's his first thought is, you know, how can I help you? And, you know, they're calling my son names, you know, they're telling him to get out of here, that he's a drug dealer, that he's, you know, doing all these things. And you'd have to know my youngest son. My youngest son has the best heart in our whole family. I mean, he has a heart of gold. And if either of those women had a problem and asked for his help, he would have said, sure, just a minute. And he would have called into Amazon and said, hey, I need to take a little bit of time to help someone here. And he would have gladly helped him. But instead of them assuming that my child was a good child, they assumed that he was a bad child, right? He's in a car that he's worked to pay for. He's been working since he was in high school. And he has always exceeded at any position that he has worked, because that's who he is. And, you know, my son was deeply hurt. And as a mother, I am still deeply hurt, because I know that child. And it really worried me for quite some time, because it affected him much like the interaction I had in junior high when they were trying to put me into a program where they wanted to use me, but not necessarily educate me in the way that I wanted to be or needed to be educated. And so these behaviors continue because we are remaining silent about them. Now, my oldest son, they're 4 years apart, and he is, he's a different child. My youngest is like a social butterfly. My oldest is like a old soul, as my mother would call me, a methodical thinker. And so, you know, when he got stopped, you know, he put his hands where they were supposed to be. He rolled down the window and, you know, unfortunately he had his music playing, and I think he said it was playing, but the interesting thing is my baby was listening to country music. Now, you know, I love good music, so I don't care what it is, as long as I can hear and it's not going to blow my eardrums out, you know, my eardrums out. So the point I'm making with this is that, you know, he spoke to the police officer. I think it was after he had graduated from it was after he had graduated from the University of Washington. He explained everything to him. The police officer let him go. And I was thankful. But I'm going to give you another occurrence. I sent my son one day to make a deposit into my bank that I have been banking with for maybe, I want to say 10 years or more at the time. And they didn't want to let him deposit the check into my account. And I'm sitting here trying to figure out, what is their issue with the fact that I gave my son a government check to put the deposit into my account? Do you see my point here? I'm telling you the pattern. And so while I am not considered a quote unquote angry black woman, I'm becoming a quote unquote irritated woman because I'm tired of this continual, perpetual, you know, downtrodden experience that we are receiving as people of color. Now, you know, my goddaughter, you know, she's out walking her dogs. She's downtown where she lives. She reaches up one time to open the door and someone pulls the door and tells her the help needs to go around the back. Another day, two people, a male and a female, approach her and ask her if she's got a green card. And they start harassing her. And I'm sitting here, she's telling me this story, and I'm like, baby, I'm so sorry. But they don't stop. You know what I mean? It's always something. It's like people have nothing else to do in their life than to look for a way to cause a problem in someone's life who is not bothering them. You know, people are not meeting one another with love. They're not meeting one another with kindness. Now, when someone comes to my house, I meet them with kindness. You know, and perhaps it's because I haven't got out a lot, because of my health challenges, that I don't see all this, but I'm hearing it. I'm hearing it from the people that I love. Now, let's flip that. And I'm going to bring you to some experiences to people to come to my house. I had a gentleman come to my house one day, and he was a postman. He wanted me to sign something. And I'm like, okay, fine. But he has a pencil or something. And I'm like, sir, that's not going to work. Where's your stylus? He said, I don't know. I lost it. I said, okay, hang on. I'll give you one of my styluses. Because I lose stuff all the time. So when I buy them in bulk. So, it was nothing fancy, but it helped him for the rest of his day. The gentleman said, thank you. He went about his day. Life was good. And I was happy. It didn't matter that we were not the same complexion. I take you a few years back from that. I had two women come up to my door. And, you know, generally I don't open my door. But these were two young women. It was raining outside. I didn't want to see them standing out there in the rain. I was able to see with my security camera that no one else was around. So I asked them what they needed. And they said they needed to talk to me about something that was going on in the community. So I opened the door, asked them to step in. Give them a chance to get a little warm. Asked them where their coats were. They said, we didn't have any. And I said, well, you can't walk around like this in the rain. How long are you going to be out here until the people who organized it bring us back? Come and get us. So I asked them to please wait a minute. And I go get them two coats. And I found one umbrella. And I handed it to them. And I said, okay, I have children. And my thought is that if my children were out there in the rain, that someone would do this for my children. So I'm going to do this for you. If you get the opportunity to bring the coats back, that's fabulous. If you don't, I'm not going to have a problem. But I would rather think of and know that you guys are not going to be sick when you go back home to your parents. So at first they were apprehensive and they didn't want to take it. There was nothing I wanted from them. I just wanted them to be safe. Do you see my point here? So these two children left my door. They left, and maybe an hour or so later, they come back. They bring me back both jackets and the umbrella. And I say, are you guys through with it? And they said, yes, they're waiting for us outside your gate. And they're just really shocked that you did this. And I'm thinking, okay, but you came to my door to offer me something. And I don't remember what it was. It was something they wanted me to sign. You know, it's been so many years ago. You know, same thing. I get a little lady from next door. Now she comes over and she wants to play. There's not a child in my house who's really young. But you know what? I love kids. So I sit down, I find coloring books. We sit and we play. Now, again, this child has a different complexion than me. It did not matter. And you know why it doesn't matter? Because I have common sense, I have the heart for God, and I trust that people will do good things. So if you're out there and you think you are doing God's work and you are not appreciating His people, you're wrong. If you're out there and you're trying to create trouble for somebody that has done you no harm, you're wrong. And if you're out there and your goal in life is to be a racist or a quote unquote redneck, and you are happy and proud to be out there with the people who are killing people and hanging people and dragging people and beating people and causing them grief, you are wrong. You can't clean it up. And you're going to stand before God at some point, and you're going to have to tell Him why you mistreated His children. And thankfully, I plan on being the other side. I'm not going to be on the side with you where I was wrong. Now, I will have things to account for, I'm sure. And maybe it's my tirade today with you on my podcast. But you know what? It's not going to be because I betrayed, belittled, bashed, or disrespected a child of God for no reason. So whoever you are, wherever you are, check your privilege. And do not go out there and hurt someone and think that God is going to look the other way, because He knows. Sending you wishes for a peaceful day. Happy afternoons and wonderful evenings. Until we speak again.